My guest at this time is Janet Porter. She is president of Faith to Action. You can find them at faith2action.org. She has played a leading role in crafting the language in the heartbeat bill. That's the legislation now pending in Ohio that would ban abortions in the state if the baby's heartbeat is detectable. She joins me now to discuss the legislation and what is likely to happen next. And Janet, it's very good to have you with us. Thank you.
So glad to be here. Thank you. I sure appreciate it.
Well, you've actually written this thing. So what exactly does it say?
Well, I guess I could summarize it in the way that Dr. Wilkie used to do, and he would say it this way: if a heartbeat's detected, the baby's protected. That's the bill. So it's got a life of the mother exception, but it basically says once you've got a detectable heartbeat, we're going to recognize that heartbeat in the same way we would recognize the heartbeat of any other human being. We're gonna acknowledge it, and we're going to kick in legal protections at that point because it's a universally recognized indicator of life. Why should we ignore it when it comes to the very young?
What is the age of the unborn child at that point? I've heard it's as early as 4 weeks. Some say 6 weeks. That seems to be the common length of time being discussed in most media reports. What does the fact show?
It varies in the same way that that the heartbeat on the other side of life varies. People would say, well, people generally live to be about 80, and then their heart stops, and some say it's about 90. It varies by the placement where the baby is in the womb, and a number of things, the technology that's used, but somewhere between in that window between generally 6 and 8 weeks.
You explained just a moment ago why you believe the heartbeat is a good threshold here. For the last several years, both at the federal level and state levels, we've heard a big push for 20 weeks, no late-term abortions, and viability is a big issue there. Others, of course, say anything after conception should be forbidden in this sense from the pro-life side. So explain in a little more detail why you decided that the heartbeat was the better way to go.
Well, we are all for protecting babies from when their life begins. That is the moment of conception. We're not trying to say heartbeat is when the life begins. We're simply saying, hey, that's an indicator we should recognize. And so it just hit me back when this idea hit my heart. I just believe that if we can't rescue them all just yet out of the burning building, let's carry out as many children as we can. And this is a very logical way, a very universally recognized way, and it's a way that will protect nearly every child who would otherwise be aborted. And I'll tell you, there's something else, that the court has said that the states are allowed to protect babies when there is a likelihood of survival to live birth. And the marker that they're currently using is a lousy one. It's called viability. It's a great big guess, and it could be as much as 90% wrong. But we've got a better marker that even the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals has said is more, quote, certain and consistent than viability. And that marker is heartbeat. Do you realize that science has shown us that if you've got a detectable heartbeat in an unborn child, there is a 97 to 98% likelihood that that child will survive to live birth? So we've got an excellent marker. The court doesn't even have to completely overturn Roe to accept it. It simply says, well, if our logic and our rationale in the court today is that states can get involved to protect children when there's a likelihood of survival to live birth, turns out we've been using the wrong marker. We got a better one. So they're going to be able to move the protection line inches away from conception instead of miles away where we are right now.
We're talking with Janet Porter, president of Faith to Action. And Janet, some folks, given the early stage at which you can detect a heartbeat, might argue that there could be quite a few women out there who would have an unborn child with a heartbeat before they even know they're pregnant. And that could infringe on what the Supreme Court has said is their right. What's your response to that?
Well, it's a situation of there's another individual whose rights need to be considered here. And we've ignored that human being for 4 decades now. More than 4 decades. It's time we now acknowledge that there are 2 human beings whose rights need to be considered. And if we can't, if we want to turn the back on a baby with a beating heart, that's a pretty heartless position to be in. I think what we need to do is realize that when a woman is pregnant, there's 2 of them. People say my body. Well, there are 2 bodies because half the children that are conceived are male. You can't be both male and female at the same time. There's 2 bodies. bodies. And this being in the womb with 46 human chromosomes is a member of the human family. It's not a rabbit. It's not a carrot. We're talking about a human being with a beating heart, whose rights need to be acknowledged because they've been ignored for far too long. And so we say, as Dr. Wilkie used to say, we love them, but why can't we love them both, the mother and the baby? And as you know, there are pregnancy centers all over the country that are offering women a choice that both they and their children can live with. And that's really where we want to move toward as a country, to protect the least among us and those children. They may not have a voice, but they have a heartbeat, and that heartbeat can be heard.
A couple quick questions still for Janet Porter, president of Faith to Action. First of all, Governor Kasich has not announced what he's going to do with this bill. He has three options. He can veto it, he can sign it, or he can do nothing, in which case it would also become law. But he seems to be hesitant. Do you have any insights into why he's hesitant and what he's ultimately likely to do here?
Well, I think the most important thing we can do right now is help to encourage him to do what's right, to choose life. And the way you do that is to pick up the phone and give him a call. His number, it's 614-466-3555. That's the way to keep babies alive, 614-466-3555. Call Governor Kasich. Encourage him to sign the heartbeat bill into law, because a veto would not only kill the most protective pro-life law in the nation, it would also kill the 20,000 babies with beating hearts every year that bill would protect. And I don't think he wants to be known as the guy that killed 20,000 babies in the bill and the most pro-life bill in the nation. And so we're really giving the guy a Christmas present, if you want to know the truth. This guy, who has lost a lot of his friends, who has seen a lot of his support go elsewhere, we're giving him a Christmas present to say, you sign the heartbeat bill, and you'll build a bridge back to the base of your support and welcome them back so that we could actually do something we can support you for, and maybe that will help him in his aspirations for higher office. So I just think right now the time to call is right now. His number is 614-466-3555. It doesn't matter if you don't live in Ohio. It's still important to call because, as you know, this man has aspirations to run for president again sometime in the future. So 614-466-3555. If you do nothing else for the issue of life today, put your faith to action and call Governor Kasich. Encourage him to choose life and sign the heartbeat bill to protect 20,000 babies with beating hearts every year.
Last topic before we let you go, Janet. One of the things we're hearing, we haven't had this confirmed from the governor's office, but that he's worried that it might not be worth it to sign it because the courts would strike it down. You mentioned the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals. That is the circuit that did strike down a similar law from North Dakota not that long ago. It was also protecting life once a heartbeat is detectable, and the Eighth Circuit ultimately ruled against that law, and the Supreme Court refused to hear the appeal. So what does that precedent tell us, and what do you think would be the likely outcome this time?
Sure. The Eighth Circuit is bound by precedent. They've got to follow what the Supreme Court has already said in the past. But what the Eighth Circuit said is, hey, Supreme Court, take a look at this one. They asked the court to review it. The court said no. Well, that makes what we're doing all the more important. And it makes no sense. When you think about it, why in the world would Governor Kasich say, I need to kill the bill because the court might kill the bill? That's absurd. I mean, it makes absolutely no sense. We just want the governor to do what he is elected to do, protect human life, fulfill the will of the people as expressed through their elected representatives that passed this bill after 6 years of pounding on the doors. What we want him to do is his job and let the courts do their jobs. Let the court decide. Governor Kasich doesn't need to have blood on his hands. Let the court, if he thinks the court's going to strike it down, fine. Let the court do what the court does. Because if our bill isn't the one that goes before the Supreme Court, then it's going to be another state. How do I know this? Because we just lived this not that long ago when we passed the nation's first ban on partial birth abortion. A lot of people said the court will say no. And guess what? The court did say no. But 30 states passed it, one after the other, Congress four times. And 7 years later, in 2007, the Supreme Court said yes. We are doing what the Bible says is exercising the persistent widow principle. You keep pounding on the door, and what God says is that even an unjust judge will give us the justice we seek. And so let the courts do what they're going to do, but we need Governor Kasich to do what he's promised to do, and that is to be pro-life. So you need him to keep those pro-life promises. And by the way, this won't cost the taxpayers a dime, because Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel, former dean of the Liberty University School of Law, called the governor yesterday and offered to defend the heartbeat law free of charge, completely cost-free. So there's really no downside to signing this bill into law or letting it become law without a signature. It matters not to me how it happens, but I know this. He can't be known as the man who kills the most protective pro-life bill and the 20,000 babies a year the bill would protect. So one call I'm asking for people to make, no matter where you live. Actually, two. One is to God, and asking him to move and turn the hearts of, it says in the word that he can turn the hearts of kings. Well, he can turn the hearts of governors. So I would say, number one, pray for Governor Kasich. Pray that the bad counsel is removed from him and the godly counsel is given an open door and access to him. And then call him at 614-466-3555 to keep babies alive. 614-466-3555. Ask Governor Kasich to sign the heartbeat bill into law and build a bridge to the pro-life community again, so that they can come back home to support him in the future.
Janet, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for your time, as always.
Thank you. Sure appreciate it.
Janet Porter is president of Faith to Action. Faith2Action.org is where you can learn more about them. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.